Deuteronomy chapter number 32 tonight in the Word of God. Appreciate that song. I'm glad, praise God. He's blotted out the handwriting ordinances against us, contrary to us, taking them out of the way, nailing them to an old rugged cross. Amen? Hallelujah for that. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, and for sake of time tonight, I'm going to read one verse I just want to deal with tonight. If you're there with me, say amen. Amen. Verse number 11, if you'll look at it with me. The Bible says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. So often we've been unlovely. Lord, we pray tonight you would help us. God, I pray tonight, Holy Spirit of God, you arrest the attention of your people tonight. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you that you would bind the powers of Satan. Lord, that nothing would hinder the work of God. I pray that, Lord, folks would only see and hear you tonight. Pray you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. God, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach what only thus saith the Lord. We'll be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The eagle is an absolute amazing creature. So much so that Solomon said in Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 18, he says this, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. And excuse me, Agar said that in Proverbs. And the first of those four things, he says in verse 19, the way of an eagle in the air. He said, there are four things more so wonderful for me, I can't even know. And the first of those four things, the way of an eagle in the air. He goes on, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. But first, he says, the way of an eagle in the air. All throughout the Word of God, it's amazing to me. I've been studying on this for the last couple weeks, and I started to deal with it last Sunday night, but just didn't have peace about it, so we went with revival, and God burdened our heart about that. But over the last couple weeks, I've been studying out some things. I come across this verse and other verses, many of them in the Word of God, dealing with the eagle. God began to birth this message in my heart, and all throughout the Word of God, there are pictures and illustrations and examples of how the eagle and the care they have for their children, their little eaglets they're called, how that it exemplifies the way that God loves and God cares for and God trains His children. Here in our text, the Lord gives us an illustration and an example of how an eagle, how they take those young eaglets from cowering in a nest all the way to the point to where they're soaring throughout the sky. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to soar for God. That was pretty weak, by the way. I said, I don't know about you tonight, but listen, I don't want a mediocre Christianity, but I want to soar for God. I mean, I want to do something for the Lord with my life. Well, they sing it somebody Friday night, I think, and they talked about the fact, and at least somebody talked about it this past week, so much went on, but they talked about, I want my life to count for something. And I want to soar for God. Can I tell you this? There's enough Christians sitting around on their blessed assurance. There's enough Christians sitting around, I'm talking about even in independent Baptist churches, that are doing nothing but just simply taking up space. May God help us as long as we're here in this world. God help us to have a desire to fly high for Him. I want you to notice as we begin to look at this tonight, this one verse, I want you to notice that there are five action words here in this text. Those are called verbs for some of you that are grammar students. Five action words that show us God's method of teaching us and training us so that He can use us in His service. These five words show us how God can take us from sitting to soaring. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. from sitting to soaring. I'm convinced tonight that many of us are not fully living the life that God has for us. There could be many reasons for that. It might be simply disobedience. It might be fear. It might be lack of faith. It might be many other things. But I am totally convinced that there are many people out of the will of God sitting right in independent Baptist churches, coming to Sunday school, going to choir, going to all the functions of the church, and yet they're still out of the will of God because they're not fully living the life that God has for them. So we begin to look at this tonight, and we begin to notice this picture, this wonderful illustration that the Lord uses. Of course, He's dealing with, in this passage, the nation of Israel and the children of Israel, and He's making a comparison. By the way, that's the people of God. You and I today, I hope, are the people of God. And He's making a comparison, an illustration, and an example of how He has cared for them, tried to teach them, and train them, that they would become the people that He wanted them to be. And God has a lesson for us tonight right here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verse number 11. I want you to notice the first thing that He does when He begins here, the first thing that eagle does, and the first thing, in fact, many times the Lord does in our life, notice it first of all, verse number 11, chapter 32. As an eagle, circle this word, stirreth up her nest. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. You see, what has to happen to get young eagles to fly is that eagle, that mama eagle, has to stir up the nest and has to, when it comes becomes time, has to practically force those young eaglets out of the nest so that they'll get out there and they'll learn to fly. You see, if that eagle never stirred up and destroyed that nest, if it never forced those little eagles to do so, they would never leave the nest. They'd never get out there on their own. It would never be forced. If those eaglets weren't forced to go out and make their own way, they never would. As you can imagine, those eaglets are very comfortable and satisfied laying around in that nest under the shadow of Mama Eagle. And you see an eagle's nest, it's an amazing thing. As I begin to study on it, some have been measured as big as 10 feet in diameter, and some of them even, in fact, have been weighed up to 3 tons, that eagle's nest. And those eagles, as they begin to prepare those nests and build those nests, the average eagle's nest is about 5 feet wide and about 2 feet deep. And as they begin to prepare and make those nests, what they would do is they would go and gather up twigs and sticks. They would start with the bigger sticks and then even smaller sticks. And what they do once they get all the sticks in place, like I said, you look up and see one on the branch of a tree, and it's usually always close to the trunk because that's where the strongest part of that tree is, and the branch is right there by the trunk. And when they're making that nest, they'll take those sticks and those twigs and they begin to interweave them together and tie all those things together, and then they'll take grass and moss and pine needles, and sometimes they'd even take feathers off of their own body. You want to know why? Because they want to make that nest comfortable for that little eaglet. They begin to build that nest and make that nest, and those little eaglets are very comfortable in that nest. Not only that, but every single day, Mama Eagle goes out and begins to gather up food. And every day, sitting right there in that nest, those little eaglets have food. They're comfortable and they have food brought to them, and they're fed and they're nourished, and all their needs are supplied while they're in that nest. And so in order to get them to ever leave the nest, did you know sometimes God's just too good to us? Sometimes the reason that the Lord sometimes maybe is not even as good or better than He even is, and He don't need to be, by the way, He's already good, but it's because we can't handle it. In order to get those eaglets to ever leave the nest, once they get strong enough, once Mama knows it's time, and once they get to the point that she knows that they're ready to go to the next level, what happens is, the Bible says here, she stirreth. Begins to stir up that nest. What that means? Destroy it. Tear it up. mess it up. And God says here that that's the same way He does with us. And many times in our life, what has to happen is God has to disturb us and God has to uproot us. And sometimes God has to shake up. Heard that earlier this week. Sometimes He has to stir us up to get us where He wants us to be. Sometimes He's got to destroy the nest and upset our apple cart in order to get us to take that next level in our Christian life. Sometimes He does it by bringing affliction on us. Sometimes He does it by bringing pain upon into our life. You see, the sad truth is simply this. We hardly ever change anything until it gets painful enough. The reason many times that we don't make changes in our life and the reason that we don't go further than we do is because many times it takes pain in order to get us to change anything in our life. What happens too often time is we get comfortable in this Christian life. We get saved, maybe we join the choir, and maybe we start teaching a Sunday school class, and before we know it, what happens is we slip into a spiritual trance. I'm going to tell you this. I believe this with every fiber of my being. There's a whole lot of Christians that are asleep at the wheel. I'm talking about in a spiritual trance. I'm talking about spiritual obese. I'm talking about sitting around on blessed assurance, not recognizing and realizing, hallelujah, there's a whole God, there's a whole world that's going to hell, and we have a God that wants to save them. We begin to just go through the motions. We begin to just play church. Can I tell you, God never intended for us to stop growing or maturing as Christians. By the way, you know what happens when that happens? Every single time, the complaining starts. The whining starts. The criticizing starts. Every single, you want me to show you the people that are the most carnal and the most backslid and the weakest Christians? It's the ones that all they know do is complain. All they know do is whine about something. Listen, I'm telling you, God never intended for us to stop growing and maturing as Christians. He never intended for us to get so comfortable that we just put our Christian life on autopilot and we stop making strides and stop trying to make an impact in this world. He saved us to serve Him. Oh, listen, He said, we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And sometimes God has to destroy our nest to get us to go to the next level. He stirreth. I surrendered to preach full-time ministry and that kind of thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I was doing everything, man. I'm telling you, I was blowing and going. I'm just being honest. You think I'm prideful, whatever you want to think. I'm just telling you the truth about, I'm trying to paint a picture here. I mean, I was doing, you know, what it took three or four other people and I left to do. That's just what I was doing. And I was in the race is what I'm telling you. I wasn't just sitting on the sidelines, but I'll be honest with you, I'd become a little bit complacent. I was doing a whole lot of things and I was satisfied with my service. We know something, God wasn't. I was satisfied with my life, had a good career, had a nice home, had plenty of money, had a good family, had good friends, and I was comfortable where I was in my life, but God wasn't. He began to stir up the nest. He began to start breaking down some things in my life. And He began to stir up that list. And as He began to work in my heart about preaching the gospel, He also began making my life a little bit uncomfortable. I remember the month of June in 2007, just like it was yesterday. The first time I've been in the business forever, and there's many things that attributed to this, but for the first time ever, I didn't close one single loan. Not one. I had seven or eight going. Every one of them that month just so happened to fall through. I never had that happen the entire time I was in the business. Didn't have it happen after, but God was using that in my life. I had seven or eight probably that should have closed. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. God was stirring the nest. God began to destroy and break down some things in my life. And also, the same month, June of 2007, after more than 3 months of a flawless pregnancy and three prior deliveries, my wife miscarried our fourth child. Preacher, what in the world was happening? I'll tell you what was happening. God was stirring the nest. God had to rock my world to get my attention. He had to stir up the nest. And listen to me, sometimes God uses storms. Sometimes God uses trials and maybe even death sometimes of loved ones and those things in order to wake us up, in order to get us out of our comfort zone, and sometimes in order to get us to move where He wants us to move. God has to stir up the nest so there's no way we can be comfortable there anymore. I hope you'll understand when I say this, but for the first time ever, I lost my burden for Cedar Ridge Baptist Church. Through all this, there's nothing wrong. I wasn't mad at the preacher. It wasn't any of that. Just for the first time ever, you got to understand, I love the church, I think and hope, as much as the pastor did. I was doing all those things. But for the first time ever. Because God was shifting my desire for other things. He began to stir up the nest. There's a great danger. Listen to me tonight. There's a great danger in children of God becoming too comfortable in their situation. And because they're so comfortable, they don't continue to grow. Listen, Moab was condemned because they had been at ease from their youth. He said they had settled on their lees. And Prophet Amos also rebuked Israel for being settled on their lees. And I'm simply saying it's not a sin to be comfortable. But listen, if your situation of being comfortable has caused you to stop growing in Christ, has caused you to stop moving forward in your Christian life, that's when it becomes sin. I want to say tonight, whatever it is that's kept you from stepping out of your nest of comfortability and being all God wants you to be, you better get ready, because eventually God's going to start stirring the nest. God always gets His way, by the way. Just depends on how much you want to go through before He gets His way. I don't know what it is. It might be disobedience tonight that's kept you in your nest and kept you in that comfortable place. It might be laziness. It might be because of fear of stepping out. Whatever it is, eventually God's going to stir up and destroy your nest that you'll no longer be able to be comfortable there. Eventually He's going to do whatever it takes to get your attention and get you where He wants you to be. Can I say to you, you were not born just so you could sit around the nest all day. You weren't born so you could sit soaking sour, but He saved you to serve. Christian, God breathed new life in you. He had a great plan for you, and that life did not consist of you sitting around on your blessed assurance. That plan didn't consist of you sitting around the church house and becoming spiritual beasts, but that plan didn't consist of you sitting here and not taking the gospel outside of these four walls, but that plan of God consisted of you going from one step to another step to the other step. And when we don't, He's going to start stirring the nest. Bible says He stirreth the nest. God never intended for us to live some mundane, mediocre, minimal Christian life. But understand this, God didn't put us here for those reasons. Oh no, you hear me tonight. You were born to fly. You were born to fly. You said, preacher, all that stuff's great for you. All that stuff's great for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I'm telling you, God made you to soar. Many of you, before you'll ever do what the Lord wants you to do, He's going to have to stir up the nest. I want you to notice the second thing the Bible says here in verse number 11. It says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, then watch this second part, fluttereth, there's the second word, over her young. What happens is that eagle rises up over when it gets time for that little eaglet, almost time for it to fly, and even just before, that eaglet is in training. And that eagle will rise up over that nest, just over that little eaglet, and it'll begin to flap its wings, and it'll just hover right there, giving an illustration. It's a teaching moment, and teaching that little eagle how it's supposed to fly. It's supposed to flap its wings. And this also has to do with getting that little eaglet to the point, encouraging them to one day leave the nest. It's not that the eagle doesn't love that little eaglet. Oh no, boy, when you study it out, it's amazing how much really they're like humans. It's amazing. It's not that that little eaglet doesn't love, or eagle doesn't love that little eaglet. It's not that she wants to get rid of it. She's not forsaking it. She just wants it to learn how to fly. Because otherwise, it's eventually going to wither away and die. In fact, one thing I read is that if the eaglet tries to come back to the nest too soon, think about this. All the pictures that's going through my mind. That little eaglet tries to come back to the nest too soon, that mama eagle and daddy eagle won't let it. Makes it so that it always eventually comes home. Eagles are very, very family-oriented, and they literally stay together for a lifetime most of the time. The families always come back eventually, but they can't come back immediately. They've got to make sure that they've been out there long enough where they've learned to fly on their own, and they try to come back too early. They won't let it send it back out for a while. That eagle is not forsaken or young, but it's to help encourage that eagle to fly. Maybe somebody's here tonight and boy, your nest has been destroyed. You've been uprooted and you've been displaced in some area of your life. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a friendship that's been holding you back. Maybe it's some physical problem, or maybe it's some financial situation that you didn't know was coming. Maybe some other crisis in your home or family. I want you to know God stirred up your nest not because He's mad at you. God stirred up your nest not because He doesn't love you, but God stirred up your nest because He's trying to use you. And He knows where you need to get before He can. One of the hardest things about parenting is when you have to do the hard and painful things. Actually, this happened with a couple of our kids. I remember specifically the last one. They were running a fever, very high fever. And they were shaking and shivering and, you know, they're already chilled to the bone and that kind of thing. And the medicine wasn't helping. It didn't phase the fever at all. And a cold rag didn't phase it. So finally what would happen is we would run a lukewarm bath. And we would set that child down in that semi-cool, really lukewarm bath. We'd put them in it. And I know that sounds like torture, and probably it felt like torture. But the fact of the matter is we had to get that fever down. Nothing was breaking the fever. If we didn't get that fever down, a whole lot more bad things could happen. And so as hard as it was to sit and watch them, as hard as it was, we knew that it was causing them to be uncomfortable. But as hard as it was for them to be uncomfortable for a little while in order to make them better in the long run, we knew that was the best thing to do. And sometimes God has to put us in uncomfortable and undesirable situations in order that we'll come out better in the long run for it. Sometimes He's got to take us through trials in order to prepare us for the bigger task. Listen, let's just be honest. I don't like pain. I don't like trials. I don't like struggles, and I don't like testings. But as much as I don't like those things, I understand tonight that they're necessary many times in our life. The trials and the struggles are the divine will of God. And listen, you'd be right in the perfect will of God and still be going through troubles and still be going through struggles and still be going through trials and still be going through storms and still be going through problems and still be going through predicaments. I'm talking about right in the center of the will of God. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean God's mad at you. It means He's trying to train you. I didn't like the financial difficulties of walking away a solid income and a business that we had built and sunk a lot of time and effort into. I didn't like the vulnerability of being unemployed. I certainly didn't like the uncertainty of not knowing my family's future. I didn't like the pain and agony of a miscarriage and of losing a child. But as I stand before you today, I can tell you this, I'm stronger for it. I'm better for it. And God knows what He's doing. I'm a whole lot further down the road, I believe, in my Christian life and walk because of it. Having been given the task to lead the church of the living God as an under-shepherd, I want to tell you this. God's used these things in my life to prepare me for such a time as this. Oh, never despise the good hand of the Lord, even though at times it may seem evil. The fact of the matter is we know His character. We know He loves us. In our heart, we know that He wants what's best for us. What we need to understand is it's just God stirring the nest. It says He stirreth, He fluttereth. Watch this one, number three. He spreadeth. He spreadeth. Look what it says. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Man, I like this. Are y'all getting this tonight? Y'all way too quiet. He spreadeth. Stay with me right here. This is shouting ground. Y'all know what shouting ground is? Let me help you. This is shouting ground. Spreadeth abroad her wings. What happens is when that little eaglet is finally rustled out of its nest, it's finally time for it to leave and it begins to try and fly on its own. What happens, glory, is when that little eaglet finally gets ready to fly on its own, that mama eagle spread out her wings and she'll fly, hallelujah, right under that little eaglet. Fly right under that, so that when that eaglet gets tired, when that eaglet begins to lose strength, when that eaglet gets to the point that it can't go any further, oh, when that eaglet gets to the point that it's weary from flying, that mama's flying just below it, as you see, with outstretched wings, ready to catch that baby eaglet when it falls. When they first begin to fly, they're really not flying at all. What they do is they just jump from branch to branch. They'll be on one branch, and they'll jump to another branch, flapping their wings, really doing nothing, just jumping from branch to branch. Finally, the time comes, and they've trained enough, and they're ready to go, or at least they think they are. They jump headlong out there in the world all by themselves. Aren't you glad tonight? Somebody needs to get this. Aren't you glad tonight that in those times of our Christian life that we begin to get tired? Aren't you glad tonight in those times in our Christian life when our strength begins to fail as we're fighting the good fight of faith, in those times where we begin to lose our composure, and in those times where it seems we become weary from walking through this sin-filled world, aren't you glad there's a loving God who's always there with outstretched arms to catch us when we fall? Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 33, the next chapter, verse 27. Look what it says here. The eternal God, you know who that is thy refuge. Watch this now. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath you are his everlasting arms. I'm glad as we go through our Christian life, as we step out and attempt more and more for God, we can do it with full assurance of knowing that if we stumble or if we fall, our God will be right there to catch us, because he's promised us that just underneath us are his everlasting arms. They're always to catch us. In Exodus chapter number 19 and verse number 4, there God is reminding Israel how he carried them out of Egyptian bondage on his wings. He says, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I'm glad the Bible says in Psalm 55 verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That word move can also translate it as fall. He'll never suffer the righteous to move. He'll never suffer the righteous to fall. Aren't you glad that the Bible still says that unto the one who's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before God, I'm glad that we'll always be the where God will always be there to catch us with his everlasting arms. This truth tonight, the truth is tonight, is we try so hard to live our lives, don't we, the way we want to live them. We try so hard to be comfortable. We want plenty of money. We want to have good health. We want to have a good place to live. We want to have a good car to drive. We want all of that. I want it. You want it. We try so hard. We want plenty of money, and we want our health to be good, and we want all this stuff in our life to be right, and we just want to be able to just coast through life. But God knows, watch this now, God knows that if we're not careful, those comforts can become an anchor to us, and those comforts can become a weight to us, and those comforts of life can become what hinders us down in this life, to the point, all the way to the point that we quit trying to fly. We start just sitting around comfortable in the nest. Eventually, we get to the point we can't even feed ourselves. Listen to me. Eventually, we get to the point where we can't even feed ourselves anymore. God has to stir up the nest. Eventually, get to the point we can't even be effective anymore. We become so dependent, so used to the comforts of this life that we're no longer effective for God in this world. We're no longer motivated to do His work. And sometimes God has to destroy our nest that's been built. Sometimes God has to rock our world to get us back to the place where He can have His way in our life. And listen to me, and it's in those times when those comforts are taken away, it's in those times when God begins to stir up the nest, it's in those times where we see our world begin to crumble down around us that we begin to look around and wonder, what in the world? Why has all this happened to me? Why me, oh God? And it's in those times that we begin to look around and wonder, where is God and what is God doing? We think the Lord's mad at us or punishing us. And sometimes I want you to know, God just wants to get us out of our nest of comfortability so we can discover that just underneath us are those everlasting wings. Sometimes He simply wants us to learn to lean on His everlasting arms. Watch it, He stirreth, He floodeth, He spreadeth. Watch this one. Number four, He taketh. Bible says back in verse number 11, watch it. Chapter 32. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, watch this, taketh them. This involves the young eaglets taking those young eaglets, watch this, back to the nest to try again. Amen! Can I tell you tonight, we might fall. We may falter. We may fail. But God's going to see to it that over and over and over again we're given opportunity to try again. Aren't you glad we serve a God of second chances? We might have to practice over and over again. Can I tell you this? I've failed God more times than I can ever even count. But hallelujah. Oh, I know what it is to go back to God. God, me again. Same thing again. I've failed Him more times than I can even count. But over and over and over again, watch this. He just keeps picking me up and carrying me back to the nest to try again. Maybe you stepped out of the nest before. Things didn't go as planned. I could tell you all kinds of stories, some even mine, some others, where folks have stepped out. They went out going to go on a mission field and didn't work out like they thought. Stepped out and going to start a church, didn't work out like they thought. Stepped out going to be a pastor at a church, didn't work out like they thought. Stepped out and going to do a program or work in the church somewhere, didn't work out like they thought it was and would do. And maybe you're that point where you've stepped out and you've tried something and it didn't work out like you thought it would. Maybe somebody's here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I've tried this Christianity stuff and it's just too hard and I just can't do it. If you knew the people that have told me that. They said, look, man, I don't come to church. I can't live it. And I said, I can't either. We need God's help. But you know something I've learned? When I fail, when I begin to fall, when I falter, puts me back on those eagle's wings. Carries me back to the nest. It's all right. Try again. Try again. Maybe you failed God. Maybe you failed Him again. You're here tonight. You're defeated because you're that one that need to come tonight and say, Lord, it's me again. Same thoughts, same looks, same words, same actions, whatever it is. It's me again. Same attitude. Won't you just let the Lord swoop down and pick you up and put you on His wings, just carry you back over and put you in the nest to try again. Notice, when the little eagle messes up and fails to fly, That mama eagle does not pick that eagle up by its claws and carry that eagle over there and drop it down into the nest of blessed God. Just try and do it again. Get it right this time. Oh no. But that eagle takes that little eaglet and puts it on its wings where it's soft and doesn't want to hurt it or harm it. Takes it back over very nicely and carries it back over and allows it to try again. He stirreth, he fluttereth, he spreadeth, he taketh. Lastly, he beareth. Bible says he beareth them on her wings. There's something I want you to understand. Through all of it, as God's teaching you and as God's training you and as God's trying to get you the place where he wants you to be, through it all, those times God has to pull his hands back off of you and you think, boy, God is nowhere to be seen in my life. And boy, he's forsaken me and he's forgotten me and he's left me. I want to tell you something. The Bible says here that he beareth them on her wings. He never, ever leaves you. That's why the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There'll never come a time where the Lord won't carry you. There'll never come a time, listen, that's why we're told take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. There'll never come a time that he does not bear our burdens. He does not bear what we're bearing. He does not carry what we're carrying. That he does not help us through our Christian life. He stirreth. I don't know tonight who's here that God might be having to stir up the nest. Your life may be getting uncomfortable. Maybe it seems that maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's, once again, financial. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's something else. Friendships or whatever the case may be. But whatever it is, not listen, I want you to understand it's not because he wants to hurt you. It's not because he's angry with you. And it's certainly not because he does not love you. But it's because he wants what's best for you. And he knows if he doesn't stir up that nest, you're going to remain right where you are. Can I tell you, once you become a Christian, the most tragic thing you can ever do with your life is waste it. Oh, listen. The Bible tells us, whosoever saves his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Here's the deal. You got one of two options tonight. You can give your life away or you can throw your life away. You can give it to God and say, God, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. God, use me, or you can live your life for you. Live your life for self. And God said, you'll be wasting. He said, you'll lose it. It'll count for nothing. I want my life to count for Jesus. He stirreth, he spreadeth. I'm going to tell you this, when you get tired, when you get weary from walking through this old world, never forget there's a leaning place, amen, we'll hear in a minute, on his everlasting arms. When you're in the midst of the battle and you begin to lose strength, just about the time you're about to fall, the Lord's going to swoop in. He's going to spread out those wings and he's going to catch you. Then he taketh. When he catches you, he's going to take you back and say, try again. Try again. You fall back into that sin. That didn't give us permission to sin. I'm just telling you, he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgives for our sin. That's still Bible, amen. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You fall back into that sin. Try again. You get preoccupied with other things and allow other things to become the main thing in your life. God'll have to stir the nest. You try and you fall and you falter. He'll catch you and take you back and say, try again. You allow pride to slip in and begin to rule your life or money or things or power, whatever it is. The Lord will set you back on those wings, fly you back to the nest and say, try again. While we stand tonight, God wants to take you from sitting to soaring. But it takes some stirring. It's going to take some